G'day, and welcome to another episode of Left After Breakfast, coming to you from Melbourne, Australia. My name is Susanna Duffy.
3CR.
The 11th of November is a momentous day in history, mainly remembered because of the silencing of the guns in the First World War. And look at the rebel outlaw, Ned Kelly. Ned Kelly was known as an outlaw bushranger, but really, he was no ordinary crim. He was despised by the establishment, but he was revered by large numbers of the population because of his affinity with the poor and his stand against police harassment. Ned was born in 1854 to a family of Irish descent in the British colony of Victoria. Now, this was the gold rush era and a period of rapid expansion. While a few people managed to strike it rich, taxes and intense competition meant that many struggled to make ends meet. The tensions that developed led to an outbreak of struggles, most famously, the Eureka Rebellion in Ballarat. While the Eureka Revolt was defeated, that struggle led to reforms such as new land laws and voting rights. The land laws, known as Selection Acts, made it easy to distribute small plots of land to selectors. Selectors were essentially small farmers. Many were poor and from Irish backgrounds. These plots were to be used for small-scale agricultural productions. Now, at that time, the vast bulk of land was occupied by squatters, mainly wealthy English people who took up large tracts of land after colonisation and then gained usage rights. Mostly, they used the land for large-scale livestock grazing. There was never any mention, much less any thought, of the First Nations people, about the people whose land was stolen to make way for these wealthy squatters. The squatters saw these new selectors as encroaching on their space, and as a result, many conflicts arose. Selectors weren't allowed to graze livestock, and most often their land wasn't fertile enough to grow healthy crops. And this meant that many were poverty-stricken, and some resorted to stealing livestock from the squatters as a way to get by. The police cracked down on livestock theft in a very heavy-handed manner. Poor selector families suffered from police harassment, and many were jailed for what were essentially petty economic crimes. As a result, a widespread hatred of the police developed alongside the class tensions between the poor selectors and the wealthy squatters.
Sometimes when tourists ask me, Ned Kelly, who was he? I say he was our patron saint, as honest as could be. I say there's plenty of blokes today in old Ned's footsteps tread, and it won't be long until they find Ned Kelly isn't dead. Ned Kelly isn't dead, by far his spirit carries on. Ned Kelly was a gentleman compared to the likes of some. I say Ned was a travelling man, and taking ways had he, but Kelly was a gentleman compared to some we see. It cost you money to be born, and they tax your daily bread, and it cost you plenty just to live, and then they bite you when you're dead. Ned Kelly was a
gentleman in shame, he'd hang his head. To see such plunder done today, Ned Kelly isn't dead. Oh no. I smile and tell these strangers that they should careful be. They'll find Ned Kelly's everywhere, there's even a bit in me. And the Kelly gang is still around in a bigger way, I said. And when you've been touched a few more times, you'll know Ned isn't dead. Ned Kelly isn't dead, old mate, his spirit carries on. Ned Kelly was a gentleman compared to the likes of some. When you're bailed up at the bus stop or a station with no train, you're supposed to like old Lumpet as Ned Kelly strikes again. How the Kelly gang has multiplied, bush ranging now is in. But at least when old Ned Kelly rode, there was only one of him. Ned Kelly isn't dead, old mate, his spirit carries on. Ned Kelly was a gentleman compared to the likes of some. Yes, Ned Kelly was a gentleman compared to the likes of some.
The Kelly family were no strangers to police harassment and state repression. Ned's father, Red Kelly, was an Irish convict transported to Van Diemen's Land in 1841 for stealing a pig. He moved to Victoria after his release, and in 1865 he was convicted of unlawfully possessing a bull hide. He was sentenced to 6 months hard labour and died shortly after. At this stage, Ned was just 12 years old. After his father's death, Ned himself began to run foul of the law. He began associating with bushrangers and was sentenced to 3 years prison at the age of 15 for crimes associated with stealing horses.
They turned him out of Beechworth Jail in 1871. He put in 3 long years behind those walls for the stealing of a horse he swore he'd never done. But now he sees the sun and turns his back upon it all. Walk softly, cried the magistrate who counted up the score. Walk softly, cried the turnkey as he clanged the iron door. Walk softly, cried his comrades cringing on that prison floor. But the sun is on the meadow and the wind is in the gum tree, and the Beechworth Jail is many miles behind you. In a prison ship in shackles, his father reached this land. He stole one pig and for that crime he paid. Inside a cold dark prison cell he died a broken man. And he left his wife to curse a crown while his children dug his grave. Speak softly, cried the jailer, laying slop upon his plate. Speak softly, cried the turnkey as he opened up the gate. Speak softly, cried his mother, it's been oh so long to wait. But the summer's on the meadow and the wind is in the gum tree, and the Beechworth Jail is many miles behind you. They told him it was over, and his song was damn well sung. They told him Wild Australia'd have to change,
and he'd better watch his temper, and he'd better mind his tongue. For the next time that he walked inside those gates, he'd surely hang. Speak boldly, cried his father from the grave in which he lay. Speak boldly, cried his country, there's a trust that's been betrayed. Speak boldly, cried his conscience, there's a debt, and it must be paid. That the sun is his own metal, and the wind is in the gum trees, and the Beechwood jail is many miles behind you.
After his time in prison, Ned worked various odd jobs, including as a timber worker. But in the 1870s, the area where the Kelly family lived in northeast Victoria hit hard times. Gold mining started to dry up, and drought struck the region. This intensified the conflicts between the selectors and the squatters, and the police harassment increased. On one occasion in 1878, a drunk policeman had come to the Kelly home and was harassing the family. A fight broke out, and after being forced to leave, the officer fabricated a story that Ned had shot him. Despite the police officer's lack of evidence, Kelly had no faith in the biased court system, so decided to go into hiding. He left with his brother Dan and his friends Joe Byrne and Steve Hart. The foursome became known as the Kelly Gang. Kelly was wanted for attempted murder over this episode, but unable to find him, the police arrested and jailed his mother for aiding and abetting. From then on, Ned vowed to take revenge for this grave injustice against his family. A huge manhunt was organized. In the course of the pursuit, a shootout took place at Stringy Bark Creek. Three police officers were killed in that gunfight, and the state responded by placing a bounty on the heads of the gang members. Despite this, the gang stayed on the run for 2 years. The small farmers who populated rural Victoria at that time were hugely sympathetic to the Kelly Gang. For them, the gang was an expression of their struggle against the wealthy landowners and against the police, who effectively acted as the squatters' private security guards. Poor farmers provided a support network for the gang. At the same time, the gang robbed several banks and distributed cash to poor farmers who were in need. They often burnt mortgage deeds, registering the debts of small farmers.
Oh, there came a man on a stolen horse, and he rode right onto the page. Burning bright, but not for long, lit up with a holy rage. No turning back for the child of grace with the blood red on his hands. Never known to hurt a woman, he never robbed an honest man. His mother held in jail, his daddy dead, and daily rising, the price upon his head. Our sunshine, through fire and flood, through dust and mud, through tears and blood, still riding on. Forever trapped in a suitor's field, with the hotel burning behind, betrayed by his companions, with the train waiting down the line. Forever tall on a bareback horse, getting through by the skin of his teeth. for the ladies and one more for the police. Riding on a hungry, tired and cold into the misty morning. We'll never go. Our sunshine, our sunshine. Through fire and flood, through dust and mud, through tears and blood, we're riding on. The judge's chair, he said, I'm free and easy. I'll see you there. Our sunshine, our sunshine. Through fire and flood, through dust and
frustrated that the gang was developing a social base, the state introduced more new laws and rounded up anyone suspected of supporting the gang. 21 suspected supporters were locked up without charge at Beechworth Jail. In 1879, Kelly drafted a long manifesto known as the Jewelry Letter. This colourful letter objects to the harassment of his family and rails against the police and the wealthy landowners. The letter denounced the role of the British Empire in Ireland and also proposed distributing wealth away from the rich landowners for the benefit of poor selector families. The Kelly Gang was eventually found in 1880 in Glenrowan. Expecting a huge police mobilisation, they conceived a plan to rip up the train tracks, hoping to derail a train from Melbourne carrying police reinforcements. This attempt failed due to a tip-off. Someone gave them up. Subsequently, a gunfight broke out at the local pub. Reports state that the police officer in charge called upon Kelly to surrender in the name of the Queen. Kelly was heard to yell back, "Surrender be buggered!" In an act of defiance, the gang came out of the pub wearing their metal armour and helmets. A 9-hour gun battle ensued. The police eventually burnt down the pub, killing Joe Byrne, Steve Hart, and Dan Kelly. Ned was finally captured after another shootout the next day. Upon capture, Ned Kelly was put on trial and found guilty of murder. At this stage, he was 25 years old. He was sentenced to death by hanging and was executed at the Melbourne jail on the 11th of November, 1880. He was hanged despite widespread public opposition, which included a mass petition, protests, and an 8,000-strong public meeting in Melbourne. The outpouring of anger at Kelly's treatment was a reflection of the tough conditions faced by both poor selectors in the rural areas and the growing working class in places like Melbourne and Geelong. Kelly was seen as someone who stood on the side of the poor and a champion of justice. In this era, workers in the cities were forming trade unions and winning shorter working hours. People were groping towards the idea of a better life. The establishment clearly feared that there is potential for workers to gather around some of the rebellious ideals that Kelly was known for. So the state moved swiftly to squash Kelly and to make an example of him.
Ned Kelly fought the rich man in country and in town. Ned Kelly fought the troopers until they ran him down. He thought that he had fooled them, for he was hard to find. But he rode into Glenrowan with the troopers close behind. Come out of that, Ned Kelly, the head Saruka calls. Come out and leave your shelter, or shoot it full of holes. If you take me, said Kelly, it's not the speech to use. I've lived despite your order, I'll die the way I choose. You'd best come out, Ned Kelly, you've done a lawless thing. For you robbed and fought the squatters, Ned Kelly, you must swing. Your tails are robbed, said Kelly, you're all condemned to die. You'd better hang the squatters, they have stolen more than I.
By hanging him in the face of mass public opposition, they sent a message that any future acts of defiance would also be dealt with harshly. While Kelly didn't have a clear plan to effect social change, it must be remembered that he lived in a period when Australian capitalism was still in its early stages of development. Trade unions were new, and workers had not yet moved towards creating their own independent political parties. Like we've seen elsewhere, in these types of conditions, sometimes resistance to oppression and exploitation can take on a more individualistic form. This phenomena is described as social banditry. In the Australian context, Ned Kelly, the bushranger, embodied a type of early social movement. Kelly's death marked the end of bushranging era in Australia. And in the decades to follow, trade unions developed further. Resistance to the established order took on a more powerful and predominantly collective form. Basic socialist ideas and the conception that the urbanized working class could be the main agent of social change became more widely accepted. Ned Kelly was a man who was drawn into struggle by the oppressive circumstances his family faced. But rather than accepting his lot, he chose to stand up and resist. While some of his ideas and methods were naive and confused, he saw himself as a fighter for the poor and oppressed. Despite his shortcomings, there's no doubt that Ned Kelly helped set a tone in Australian working culture. Many of the fighters for the poor and oppressed that came after him based themselves on his militancy and spirit of defiance. And we should take a lesson from Ned Kelly and follow in the footsteps of Australia's most famous rebel by continuing the fight for a society, a more just society. A society where the wealth created is used for the benefit of the many rather than of the few.
3CR.
Poor Ned, you're better off dead. At least you've got some peace of mind.
Poor Ned, you're better off dead. At least you'll get some peace of mind. You're right on the track, they're right on your back. Boy, they're gonna hang you high.
My father in an early grave, slung my mother in jail. Now I don't know what's right or wrong, but they hung Christ on nails. Six kids at home and two still on the breast, they wouldn't even give a bile. We sing,
poor Ned, you're better off dead. Or at least you'll get some peace of mind. You're right on the track, they're right on your back. Boy, they're gonna hang you high.
It's a thousand like Ned Kelly who'll hoist the flag and stars. We sing,
poor Ned, you're better off dead. At least you'll get some peace of mind. You're right on the track, they're right on your back. Boy, they're gonna hang you high. Poor Ned, you're better off dead. At least you'll get some peace of mind. You're right on the track, they're right on your back.
Great words from Red Gum. And no man single-handed can hope to break the bars. It's a thousand like Ned Kelly who hoists the flag of stars.